This morning. Numbers chapter 35, verse 25. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. Praise God. I know that's just taking a little portion out of a bigger picture, but I want to try to paint the bigger picture here today. Amen. And I want to begin this morning by talking about the city of refuge. Amen. My city of refuge. Let's pray and let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning, and let's ask God to move. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. Thank you for truth, and I'm asking you to anoint the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Is anybody praying with the pastor this morning? Come on, let's lift our voices right now and let's ask God to help us. Father, we need you right now. We need the touch of the Holy Ghost. We need the victory this morning. We need the anointing of your word. Help us right now. Touch us in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. It's good to be here this morning. And let's just get into the word of God. In the Old Testament, there was a number of ways that God gave the children of Israel to deal with certain situations. Of course, we understand that there was the sacrifices that were brought to the tabernacle, and that all of that was set up for the sins of the people. But God made provision for those that were in violation of the law, and in violation by accident, by no means of their own. If there was a situation, and this is what this scripture deals with here this morning, it deals with someone who would accidentally kill another Hebrew. In the scripture, in the Old Testament, I'm glad we're not living in the Old Testament, amen, but in the Old Testament, if you were the slayer or the one that killed another person, then it was in the law that someone in their kinship of the person that had died had the right to kill you. They had the right to bring revenge, justice upon the person that killed your relative, whatever it was. And this situation here was a protection. Everybody said protection. Protection. It was a protection for everyone so that situations could be dealt with in a timely manner, that they could be dealt with under the legal system of their law, that if someone had killed another person, that they could have justice. And when we look in the Old Testament, and I think most of us understand this, that the Old Testament is actually a picture of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And so when we look here this morning at these scriptures, I want you to think about Jesus Christ in relationship to what it's talking about here in the Old Testament. I believe today that we can trust God and that God will be our protector, that God has a place for us to run and hide. Amen. And we heard it this morning in the special song, a place to run and hide. And we do have a place to run and hide. We do have a refuge. We have a place that we can go. We're hearing an awful lot about refugees, and that is people that are seeking for refuge away from the situation of their country, where there is destruction and war and all of that, and people are leaving and they're looking for refuge. Whether we realize it or not, all of us have a need for a place of refuge. Amen. We all have a place where we need to go, where we can run and hide, and where we can be safe from the enemy that would come against us. And the enemy of our soul is roaming to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is able to kill and to destroy. And yet God did not leave us as sheep before the wolves. Amen. He gave us a place of refuge. And Israel knew the blessing of divine protection. If we were to go back, and I'm not going to go through the story this morning, but if we were to go back to their deliverance from Egypt, we would see that they experienced firsthand the divine protection of God. And the lamb was slain, and the blood was put upon the doorpost, and at midnight, the death angel came through the land. Everyone that did not have the blood upon their doorpost, the firstborn of their house, was slain. And so we have another picture there of the need for refuge from death. Amen. Death is our greatest enemy. Sin is our greatest enemy. Amen. And we have a place of refuge today where we don't have to die in our sins, and we don't have to be destroyed by the enemy of our soul, which is the devil. Well, praise God. And it's good to be here this morning. It's good to be here because this is a place of refuge, amen, where we can hear the word of God and we can reach out to God. So the Lord spoke to Moses when he gave the law to him, and he told him, he said, there's going to be a situation where we're going to have justice take place. There's going to be times when someone kills someone else, whether by accident or whether on purpose. There's going to be a time when somebody is going to fall short and they're going to do something that they shouldn't be doing. And whether it be by accident or whether it be intentional. And so God gave them an opportunity to figure this out. And basically bring it before a court system, which was in the gate of the city, and the elders would judge in the matter, and they would bring witnesses and all of that. And if this person was not guilty of killing someone intentionally, God told Moses, he said, I want you to set up some cities. I want you to designate some cities in the land of Israel, and I want you to appoint them as cities of refuge. They're already set up. God said, I want you to put them as cities of refuge, that if anyone needs to find a place of safety, that these cities will be around the nation of Israel. Three on the westward side of Jordan River and three on the eastward side of Jordan River, six cities, and then the cities of the suburbs of those cities were designated as refuge, cities of refuge. And we have a refuge today. Praise God. We have a refuge today. And if I were to accidentally slay someone, then the avenger of blood, that would be the relative of the dead person, could chase me down and kill me. And if he did that outside the gate of the city, then there would be no charges brought against that avenger of blood, because he was doing what the law appointed for them to do. And but if I could get to the city of refuge, if I could make it to the place of safety, then he did not have any right to come into the city of refuge and lay a finger upon me. He would not be able to hurt me. He would not be able to do anything to me, because I was in the city of refuge. And as long as I stayed in the city of refuge, I would be free. I would be safe, and the enemy of my soul would not be able to come and to harm me. Amen. There's something about safety that we all want and desire in our lives. But what about our spiritual safety? What about being safe from eternal damnation? Amen. There is an enemy of our soul. His name is Satan, and he wants to destroy your soul and your life for eternity in eternal flames. Amen. But there is a city of refuge today. Praise God. There is a place that we can go to. And in fact, Hebrews chapter 6 gives us an indication that these cities are a reference to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, 19 and 20, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure, everybody said sure, and steadfast, everybody said steadfast, sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so we find here in the Old Testament that if I could get to the city of refuge, if I could wait it out until the death of the high priest, amen, we can understand this morning that Jesus is the city of refuge for us, and not only that, he is our high priest. Well, praise God. Jesus is our high priest, and he is our city of refuge. And the good news is today that the high priest has died. Amen. The good news is that he has already paid the price for freedom for everyone who is in the city of refuge. Can you thank God for that this morning? Praise God. And so the children of Israel, they came through the wilderness, and then they came into the land of promise, and they began to set up the cities of refuge. It wasn't very long until the leader of Israel, Joshua, tells us that he began to set up the cities of refuge. And the cities of refuge were these: Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, and those were on the west side of Jordan, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan on the east side. And what my goal is today is to reach out to someone. Amen. And if you're living your life in insecurity, if you're living your life in fear of tomorrow, and you don't know what's going to come, amen, I'm reaching out to you. If you don't know God this morning, I'm reaching out to you, amen, because we do have a place of refuge today. The price has already been paid. All we have to do is get to the city. Amen. All we have to do is get to Jesus. And when we get to him, Praise God. Everything's going to be all right. When we're in His hand, amen, nothing can pluck us out of His hand. And when we are with Him, everything's going to be all right. Praise God. I want to start off this morning, and if you want to call this a series, go ahead. But really, it's a word of ministry to us. I want to start off there with the city of Hebron. It seems to be the natural one that would be the first in order here. Hebron in the original means to associate or to join or to conjoin or to come together. It also means to unite as friends. It means fellowship or friendly association. Amen. And so when God gave commandment for the cities of refuge, Hebron was chosen as one of them. Out of these six cities, we can see in a geographical sense that these cities were higher. They were higher than the other ground around them, so that if we needed to get to the city of refuge, we could see it afar off. Praise God. It wasn't something that was down in a valley somewhere, but these cities were set up on high. And our Savior Jesus Christ has been exalted on high. He is high and lifted up today, and it is not hard to get to Him. Praise God. It was in the law, or it was in the custom of Israel, that these six cities were main cities, and there were roads that went to these cities. From what I have gleaned from this, they kept the roads well maintained, so that it would be easy to get to it. It wasn't up on the top of a mountain where you had to climb and risk your life to get there, but it was smooth, it was flat, it was easy, it was the easiest way to get to the city of refuge. If you're here today and you feel like that you've done so many things wrong that you can't get to God, I'm here to tell you this morning that's not the truth. Well, praise the Lord. It's not the truth this morning. It really isn't. God has made a way for us. He filled in the holes. He leveled out the road. He gave us a clear pathway so that we can make it to Him. Amen. Isn't it amazing that God made it so user-friendly, if you please? In fact, He's here this morning, and He wants to touch our life here this morning. You can live for God. Amen. I said you can live for God. You can make it to heaven. You can walk with Jesus Christ every day because He has made it available to us. And so He gave us the city called Friendship. He gave us the city of Hebron, specifying, telling us the relationship that we can have and that we do have with Jesus Christ. If I needed a situation to be taken care of, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a friend and all you had to do was call up that friend and say, hey, I need this done, and it's done. Amen. It would be great to have that kind of a friend. Somebody that is your friend, first of all, and then somebody that has the power to help you. I'm telling you what, Jesus wants to be our friend. And He is our friend. The Bible says that He has laid down His life for His friends. Amen. And we are His friends today. Praise God. When you give your life to God, He is your friend. And He wants to minister to your needs. I don't believe this morning that we should be wringing our hands and bringing up all of the bad things in my life. No, but I believe today I need to confess Jesus Christ every day. Amen. To confess His friendship and His love that He has for me. Anybody feel that way this morning? I feel that way this morning. I believe that today. He is the friend of friends. Amen. And this place of friendship stood as a beacon of light, if you please, a city set on a hill that the light could not be hid. And if it was daytime or nighttime, if I were to just continue on, I could make it to that city. And if I get to the city, I'm safe. Praise God. I cannot experience harm. Everyone in the city was obligated to help me and to take care of me. Well, praise God. And I was safe. I could be safe. You know what? We have an enemy today. The devil is our enemy. Jesus said the enemy comes, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. That word more abundantly means super abundant. Praise God. It means a life of abundance in Him. And all we have to do is recognize where we are today and rejoice in that. Praise God. Anybody excited this morning about God? About living for God? About walking with God? If you're not, you haven't met the God that I have met. Amen. He is wonderful this morning. He is awesome today. Praise God. I've got everything in the world to rejoice about. I've got everything in the world to be happy about because I've made it to the city of refuge. I found Him. I know Him. And He knows me. Praise God. It's going to be all right. Praise God. I just feel a spirit of doubt here this morning. And I hope it's not a spirit of doubt because Jesus will help you. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And I believe that He's speaking to us as well. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends. Oh my. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord would just walk into the service today. And walk up to the platform and say, I want to say something to you, my friends. Amen. What a comfort it is. What a comfort it is. Brother Brother Temeskin's brother, Barakat. For some reason, that is a hard name for me to remember. And we were dropping them off at the airport. And we got there, and we were unloading all the luggage and got them there. And it was 4 o'clock in the morning when we left and got there about 5 o'clock or 4:30, somewhere in there. I think it was 4:30 in the morning. And Brother Barakat got everything out. He stopped for a moment. He looked me in the eyes, and he said, I love you. And he just has that smile and that way about him. And I said, I love you too, brother. And you know what? It gives you a warm feeling inside to know that somebody loves you. Praise God. And I'll tell you today, if we'll get close enough to God, we'll be able to hear Him and feel Him and see Him say, I love you. You're my friend. Amen. There's nothing like a good friend. And they say that most people don't have very many friends, but there is one that I want to have as a friend. And I don't want to disassociate myself with him, but I want to get to know him. Amen. He said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid. Amen. Be not afraid. And the reason is because you have made it to the city of friendship. Amen. The old song, Friendship with Jesus. Oh, what joy divine. Amen. What a fellowship we have with Him. Praise God, because He's not just my Lord and my God, which is awesome all in itself, but He is my friend. Amen. And I believe that the church should be a place of friends. Well, praise God. Amen. I believe that the church ought to be a place where it's friendly and people are friendly and kind. I'll tell you why, because it's a place of refuge. Amen. God designed it that way. He said, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Amen. And that goes right to the scripture that tells us, amen, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. What is the beginning of knowledge? Amen. The beginning of knowledge is that God is love and that God cares about me. He's not a big, bad, mean God waiting to find a reason to send me to hell. But he is a God that's looking for a reason to get us to heaven. Well, praise God. What a comfort we have today when we get to know him. And he goes there after the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, and he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? God sees everything that goes on in his creation. But even the very hairs of your head are also numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. Isn't that comforting? Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Amen. He lets us to know that he has an intimate relationship with his creation. In another place it says, if a sparrow falls, if it dies and falls from the tree, God makes note of that and he knows what's taking place in his creation. Don't ever get the idea this morning that God does not know what's going on in this world, that God is not aware of what's happening in your life. The Bible says he knows the very hairs of your head, and they are all numbered. Amen. It also tells us that God gave a name for every single star in the universe. Can you imagine that? God is intimately involved in his creation, but even more than his creation, he is so intimately involved, and he wants to become your friend and my friend. Amen, Pastor. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, folks, we've got something here that is exciting. Amen. I've had friends in my life, and I can call my friends, and I can talk to them about things that are going on in my life, and they understand, and they don't judge me. Amen. They just listen, and if they feel that it's necessary, they'll give me a word of advice. Amen. But I'm telling you, life would be very, very bad without a friend. And this friend is the friend of friends. And he is there for my eternal protection. Praise God. There's safety. There's peace. There's calm in the storm. Amen. Because Jesus is the walled city. Amen. He is the place that I've run to hide. And nothing can come in here and hurt me. Praise God. He's come to give us peace in our heart, peace in our mind, and in our spirit. Praise God. And all of us have need to be safe from the enemy of our soul, because he tries to kill and to steal. I've already brought that up. I believe that this city, this place of friendship, amen, should comfort us. And there should be that comfort one to another, where the Bible says that we should provoke unto love, and that we should go out of our way to edify one another. and to help one another. God forbid that inside of the city of refuge there would be confusion and there would be hurt. Oh, I pray that that would not be the case. Amen. But I pray this morning that this would be the friendliest church on the east side of Wichita. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Why? Because it's our refuge. It's a place we're running to hide. Amen. And so Hebron, this city, Hebron, has a connection with somebody very important in the Old Testament. He was a man that probably was lonely at times, and the call of God brought that on to him. He left his family and his friends to serve the Lord, and after coming to the place that God had called him to, he lost his last remaining relative, which was a nephew, was not close to him anymore. And he was able to follow after God because he found the friendship that he needed with God. And that man, of course, is Abraham. He was able to follow after God. He found a place where God was. God spoke to him in his land of nativity or in his birthplace. And God said, I want you to leave your mother and your father. I want you to leave your brothers and sisters. I want you to go to a land that I will show you. And it's very telling this morning when you look at Abraham's life that there were times that he was afraid. And he told the people in the area where he was about his wife. He said, she's my sister, because he was afraid. He was afraid for his life. He was a stranger, if you please, coming into a strange land simply because God told him to do that. And there's going to be times in your life where you're going to be lonely and where the will of God is going to take you to places where you're not really sure why you're here, except that God said, be here. Praise the Lord. And there's times that family and friends don't understand. And I've left and I'm going in this particular direction. Sometimes in living for God, it's that way. Amen. Family doesn't understand. Friends don't understand. And they think that you love the church more than you love them now. And you're going in another direction. But don't be afraid this morning. There's been others down this road as well. Abraham was one of them. And he wanted to be where God was, and he wanted to do the will of God. I don't know what it was that put it in his heart, but if we can get this in our heart and understand that we're here because the call of God is upon our lives. God has said in the church, members in particular, I'm here because God put me here. Amen. I'm here because the Lord called my name and said, come and follow me. And I followed him. And in my situation, my family did not understand. And yet I still had to make that decision whether or not to serve God, whether or not to put my trust in God. Amen. You can put your trust in yourself, but I'm going to put my trust in God today because he knows where I need to be. And so when God puts us in the church, amen, we need to love the church. Well, praise God. When God puts us in the church, we need to love the church. Amen. When God puts us in his kingdom, we need to love the kingdom of God. I don't understand those that all they do is put down and criticize. Amen. Because I'm thankful I'm in the church today. It was at the church that I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was the church that he purchased with his own blood. It is his church that is founded upon the rock. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is the church that is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. Everything in the church is not bad. Amen. There's a lot of good in the church, and I want to see the good in the church. Why? Because it's my city of refuge. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have another plan to follow, but God's plan. Amen. God's plan is the right way. Amen. God has ordained that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm thankful for preachers in my life. Amen. I'm thankful for men of God that ministered to me and helped me and spoke to my heart. How many of you have ever been in a service and you had a need and the message was exactly what you needed? Amen. Several of us. It's been there so many times. Amen. I've had people tell me through my ministry that they were praying and God spoke to them through a message. I got a feeling that sometimes when we come to the house of God, we may not necessarily have a need. Amen. And the message, you may not feel like that it's for you, but just hang on. The day is going to come when you're going to need a word from God, and it's going to be there for you. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God, because it is the place of friendship. Amen. Maybe we ought to just cancel and go over to Sunday school here this morning. Praise God. And get a little bit excited today about the parting of the Red Sea. Well, God parted the Red Sea for us and delivered us from Egypt. Amen. Delivered us from sin. And we're in an exciting place today. Praise God. And the Lord said unto Abram, here in Genesis 13 and 14, after that Lot was separated from him. All right, so now his nephew's gone. They're separated because of conflicts that are arising because of their stock. And he said, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Amen. I've got a feeling this is where I need to start, is with the city of refuge named Hebron. Amen. A place of friendship. Amen. We need to have friendship with Jesus. We need to have friendship with the land that he has given to us. Amen. In other words, after a period of time, when someone says, where do you go to church? Well, I go to that church over on 12th and Henry. Amen. What you will come to is my church is on 12th and Henry. Praise God, my church family is at 12th and Henry, and I love the people there, and they love me, and when I go, I'm ministered to, and the needs of my life are supplied. Praise God. Abraham was far, far away from home. God finally said, lift up your head, Abraham. And the reason was because his head was down and he was looking probably at loneliness. Now my nephew Lot is gone. And from the time that I started living for God, all of my connections in this world are being broken. Amen. They're gone. This one's gone. That one's gone. And then I'm wandering out here in tents. Amen. And I'm going to a place. I'm believing God. I'm really trusting God. I don't know where I'm going to end up, but I'm trusting in God. Amen. It comes down to that sometimes. It comes down to that sometimes when family doesn't understand. And it's not us, but it's them that makes the decision. Amen. That I don't agree with what you believe. And so there's a break in the relationship. It causes grief in your heart. Amen. It really does, because you love your family. You love those family relationships. And folks, if we're going to live for God, we've got to follow God at every cost. Amen. At all cost, it's worth it to go to heaven. It's worth it to go to heaven. And so here he had lost Lot. Yes, he was in the particular area there, but Lot had kind of gone in another direction and gone to something that was really not the will of God for him. He should have given his uncle first choice, but he said, "I want the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah." And eventually he lost his whole family down there. And his loss of family was not in the will of God. Amen. It was not in the will of God. There's a big difference there. And they were burned with the fire of judgment that came down from God, because they were not in the place of safety. They were not under the canopy of the friend of their soul, amen, which was the Lord. And so he found this land. He looked northward. He looked westward. He looked eastward. He looked southward, and looked it all over. And probably there was a city on a hill. And he looked at that after a period of time. And it takes a little bit of time, but it should develop. It needs to develop. Amen. That this kingdom of God, this land that God has given to me, is my home now. This is my home. I'm starting more and more to feel totally at home. And I know that if something comes up, there's going to be help. If something comes up, there's going to be somebody that will empathize with me and help me. It's a place of friendship. Amen. God help us. And God help the poor people that are in a church that's nothing but confusion and problems and troubles. I'm telling you, it does not set very well. And I have been in places like that, and it's not a good thing. Thank God for a good church to go to. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for a good church to go to. Amen. We're not going to go to extremes. Amen. But we're just going to love God and live for God and have revival. Amen. And love on our children and brag on them and help them. Amen. Eventually they will make up their own mind to live for God or not to live for God. But I'm telling you today, friend, we've got a great, great thing here. Amen. A great, great thing here. And Abraham decided, "I want Hebron." And so he camped there. He built an altar to the Lord there. And I think at that altar, Abraham said, "I'm putting myself on this altar. This is now my land. God gave it to me. This is now my new home. I'm going to stay here from now on." Amen. "I'm not looking here and there and everywhere, but I'm staying home." Amen. "Because this is where God put me, and this is where God wants me to be." It's a wonderful thing when you understand that. Amen. Jesus went to Calvary to give us a church. He paid for it with his own blood. Praise God. So that we could have a home. Amen. So that we could have a place that we call home. And I feel like I'm home. Amen. I know I am. I've already got my tombstone put up. Amen. I'm going to be here from now on. Amen. And if you like it or not, it doesn't matter. This is home. Praise God. And the rest of us need to feel that way as well. Amen. Because we cannot have that friendship. You can't have really close friends when you just move around all the time. Sister Kimberly, we've known each other for a long time. Brother Charlie and Sister Stacy, we've known each other for a long time. And there's a lot of you here we've known for a long time. Amen. We feel like you are our friends. Amen. And if there was ever a need, amen, I would not have to worry, and I don't think that you would have to worry, because we found a place that we can call home. Amen. And Abraham found that, and he chose Hebron. I don't think it was a coincidence that Joshua chose Hebron as one of the cities of refuge. Amen. Because it went all the way back to Abraham, a man who was the friend of God and who knew a place of safety. Praise God. John chapter 6 and verse 53. I'm going to close here in just a moment. John 6 and verse 53. Sometimes it looks difficult, but it's not as difficult as it looks to live for God, not when he becomes your friend. John 6:53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's when we're born again. And his life comes into us. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live by me. That this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth this bread shall live forever. Amen. He's talking about this spiritual life that we must eat and drink. Amen. In other words, if we are going to be saved, we must become the friend of Jesus. We must be close to him. We must be close to him if we're going to be saved. Amen. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up from where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples, everybody said many, they went back and walked no more with him. They decided, I don't want to be his friend. I don't want to go with him. I don't want to be seen with him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. And there are those that will do that. Amen. I've had friends in my life, especially in my younger life. I remember in grade school having a best friend, and he was my best friend, and we did everything together, and we dreamed together, and we talked about things together. And all of a sudden, one day, and I never did, and still haven't figured it out, all of a sudden, one day, he was cold. And was not didn't talk the same way he talked, and before you know it, he became my enemy. And I still to this day don't understand what it was that took place. But I never have figured out how somebody that can be a friend all of a sudden can turn and begin to nitpick and begin to point out faults. Amen. These people that left Jesus, they had their reasons, if you please. This or that or the other. And before you know it, they did not walk with him. They were no longer friends with him. Amen. It is a very hurtful thing when someone walks away from a relationship of love. Amen. It hurts bad. It is a very difficult, a very hard situation. Amen. And they were willing to do that and to walk out of the door of the city of refuge named Jesus. Amen. The friendship, the place of friendship. The place of love, the place of concern. Amen. They were willing to just walk away from it. My friend, don't walk out of this church this morning without inviting Jesus to be your friend. Amen. Don't leave this place because there is an enemy of your soul that's right outside the gate of the city, and he is not your friend even though he talks friendly. We have a refuge this morning. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. We have somebody who loves us more than I believe we even love ourselves. Amen. And sometimes it gets hard and we can see another way. But how can you walk away from your friend? How can you do that? What does it take in your moral character to just one day get up and walk away from your friend? It's very telling. Amen. I can't do that. Amen. He's been my friend. Amen. I see a high place and it's beckoning. Amen. It's beckoning. It's it's there, and somebody's waving off of the top of the wall. Hurry up. Come on. Come on, you can be in our city. We will help you. Amen. Calling out. Amen. For friendship. Come on, just a little bit further. You're going to be here. And when you get there, the gate opens. And when you get inside, the door is shut and you're safe. Praise God. Praise God. There's a place of safety today. A place of victory today. 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 26. Amen. Do you love him this morning? 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 26. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again into the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Amen. This Abner had killed someone named Asahel, and you can read the story. And he was in a chariot, and Asahel was running after him. And he smote him with his spear and killed him there in the battle. And now that he has done this, the avenger of blood is chasing him. And somehow or another, Abner got to Hebron. He got to the place of friendship. And while he was there in the place of friendship, everything was all right. Everything was safe. But Joab, the relative of Asahel, came to the gate of Hebron, the place of friendship. And I don't know if it was because Abner was now so used to the friendship of the city that when Abner came, or when Joab came to the gate and said, "Hey, Abner, come on out. I want to talk to you." Maybe he said, "Oh, no. I'm not coming out the city. I'm not coming out of this gate. I know what you're up to. Oh, man, I'm not up to anything. Listen, I just want you to know I forgive you. I just want you to know I want to be your friend." And so craftily put his words out there so that he would come out of the city. And finally, Abner gave in, and he stepped out of the gate of the city. And when he stepped out of the gate of the city, he felt the piercing of the sword as he stuck it between his fifth and sixth rib and killed him right in the gate of friendship. Listen, I want you to know Jesus Christ is your friend today. And when you get him as your friend and you hold on to him as your friend, I want you to know today it's a place of safety. All some people can see is the walls. This wall is keeping me in. I can't be free. I can't come and go as I please. I'll tell you why we can't come and go as we please on some things, is because of the nature of our flesh. We can't come and go. Jesus said you can't serve God and the world at the same time. We can't just go in and out of the gate. Amen. Well, I'm going to be friends today, but tomorrow I've got some other friends that I'm going to go and see. He said you will eventually love one and hate the other, or you will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and the world at the same time. Amen. I hope that this message is getting across this morning, because we have a place of refuge today, and it's in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ this morning. Can we stand together? Can we stand together this morning? Praise God. Amen. Can we just pray right now? Come on, somebody, let's pray right now. Let's ask for God's help. Father, we need you right now. We need the touch of your Spirit this morning. We need your presence, God. We need the victory today, Lord. We need the touch and anointing of your Spirit. We need to feel the friendship, Lord, that you have for us. For you're truly the friend of friends. You are the friend, you are the lover of my soul. And you proved it when you went to Calvary and paid the ultimate price, so that I could have victory and joy and peace in my life. Help me to love this city. Help me to love this kingdom of God that you put me into. Lord, help me to build it up. Help me to strengthen it. Help me to bless it. Help me to be a friend to it, so that it will increase and get better and better and better and better. I pray in Jesus' name this morning. In Jesus' name this morning. Praise God. If you need to know Jesus today, I want you to come right now. And don't wait. Don't hesitate today, because he's a friend that's waving. He's waving off of the wall of that city, saying, come on, you can make it. Come on, just a few more steps. Come on, there's an avenger of blood that's on your trail today, and he wants to get you, and he wants to destroy your life. Come on, why don't you come this morning? That's why the preacher says, come on, let's come. Amen. Because it's a beckoning call. Amen. For the hungry heart that says, I want God. I want God. I want God more than I want anything in all of this world. Outside the wall of this city's destruction, outside the wall of this city's nothing but hurt. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Don't hold your life back from God. Don't hold anything back from God. It's worth it to live for him. It's worth it to give your life to him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, praise God. Come on, you're going to have to talk to him yourself. I can't talk to him for you. You're going to have to talk to him yourself. But I'll guarantee you, when you begin to talk to him, he'll start talking right back. He's been waiting a long time. He's been waiting a long time for you to come and strike up a friendship. because that's what he is and that's what he does. He's a friend. He's a friend. He died for the whole world. He wants to be the friend of the whole world. He wants to be everybody's friend. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.